Good to be with you on this Monday, the 4th of November, standing in for your regular host, Tiger Bales, who'll be back tomorrow. Before we continue, I'd like to begin firstly by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk, and hello to you if you're listening to Let's Talk through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Now, today we're going to be speaking with Priscilla Gibson. Priscilla is a health promotion officer at the Punupima Cape York Health Council, which covers the region of far north Queensland. And Priscilla will tell us a bit more about Punupima if you've not heard about it. And she'll be telling us about some of the work that she's doing. In fact, she coordinates a program called Beat It, which is tackling type 2 diabetes. So let's give her a warm welcome right now. Priscilla, welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you, Karen, and good morning, listeners.
Priscilla, yes. Firstly, tell us a bit about yourself, your mob and your country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually come from Hopevale, and we've always stayed, but on my mother's side, that is the Pearson families. So, yes, so I have four children. They've all grown up and have seven granny boys and girls. And, yes, but they keep me very active. So Hopevale is about 46 k's northeast of Cooktown. And it's a beautiful, pristine area, and it has a lot to offer. Hopevale is one of the communities under the welfare reform project.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, so more or less I travel to and fro from Hopevale to Cooktown because my role there is as a Punupima Health Promotion Officer, taking in the areas from Woodjill, Hopevale, and Laura. So it's a Cooktown, what we call the Cooktown cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So Punupima actually sits in Cairns, so the main office is in Cairns.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, and it's a health service for the Cape region.
That's right. Some people like to call it Punupima, probably just professionals within the centre. So
yep.
you have the clinical staff, community engagement staff, people like myself and the health promotion, and so it offers a full range of primary healthcare service programs.
And you do that in partnership with other health organisations, don't you? Like Royal Flying Doctor
right.
Service, Queensland mm-hmm. Health, yes.
That's right, yes. So, you know, the programs that we offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, how long have you been working with Punupima?
I've actually been working with them for the last 4 years now, and the services that Punupima.
And why did you, before you talk a bit about your role, what were you doing before that?
Yes, going back in the 1980s, I've always been involved in health and done a bit of accountancy studies in Cairns, and then done a stint for about 12 months with the Health Valley Council as a CEO. And then I went away, and then I worked with the Wellbeing Centre as the centre manager for a short period of time because I had to care for my mum. And then because she was going into palliative care, I had to leave my work and provide her, you know, the care that she really needed. And it was a great time for me to spend that time with her.
Mm.
And then, I left the work. Then I, of course, mum passed on then, and then I looked around and said, well, I need to get back in the workforce again. So I applied for a position with Punupima, and this is where I am now as a health promotion officer.
Yeah. And presumably amongst all of those jobs, you were raising a family as well.
Yes, I was raising a family and I was also studying and, yes, that's it, Karen. Never does. So, and don't be afraid to continue your studies, you know, because, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, it is alive.
Can I ask you what you're studying and also how old you are, Priscilla?
Yes, I've been, I have been studying with it.
Well, congratulations.
But thank you. Yeah, so I'm now looking at really sitting down and starting up a little consultancy for myself because, I think I deserve that to stay at home now, but also just looking at a business for myself. But I've always been interested in helping my people. Mm. Health is very important.
Yeah. Well, you said that you worked as a health worker back in the 1980s. Well, we're, 30 years down the track now. Would you say the issues are the same or are they better or worse?
Well, I would say that now, and of course, I don't know if you're familiar with the Got Sugar, but Got Sugar is a one-day workshop, and it provides, culturally appropriate education, and they've got role plays, storytelling, and it's really targeting type 2 diabetes. But anyway, I sat there and I looked at that. No, this is what I need. All right, so we got the three clusters, the Hopewell, Woodgill and Laura together. And so we said, right, we're with Woodgill and from Laura. So that was just a taste. Mm. And it was great because the workshop actually, it just explored the everyday happenings in our lives and the complexity of what we have to deal with. And so the play was modeled as you would find in any home.
So what kind just thinking, what actually happened? What kind of role playing did you do for the workshop?
All right. So the role plays were that their recommendations as to how it could have been done better.
That would have been quite empowering then for them, the participants. Yeah.
It is very, very empowering. And it's actually giving back the responsibility to the community in thinking through their issues and finding a solution.
Mm. And was that the only scenario that you played at, or were there others? And are they fairly?
There were others that we had we played out, and it's such games like
and all that sort of thing.
So it's been the storytelling. Community people acting out as doctors, as nurses, health workers. Yes. So.
Good. Has it just been the one Got Sugar workshop, or have you had several since?
No, we've had several now. Mm. So from there on, it actually went back to Woodgill because the community then said, look, we're wanting this on our community.
How did you actually hear about Got Sugar, and why did you think it would work for locals in your region?
Well, the others are. It became an accepted illness, so to speak. I don't like using the word disease, but it's an illness.
Yeah.
But they had accepted.
Was that Mick Adams or?
That's right. Yeah. Yes. And so he put all this together and he said, look, can we do it in this way? And of course, as you well know, that with us Aboriginal people and with our languages, it's very animated. So when we speak, there's always the sounds, the actions, the facial gestures, and we really get a lot come alive. So with this role play, that's exactly what it was. It did not present preaching or speaking down to. It actually had that interactive feeling of everyone being involved. Mm. Now, where did I hear this role play? We actually had it. I've seen it. It's a physical activity and lifestyle program.
Yeah.
It's run by Diabetes Council.
Yeah.
Why I thought that would be appropriate was because with our lifestyle as Indigenous people and the life that we're living today has actually taken away the ability and the opportunities of getting out there being physical. So more today is that, we're just sitting there and watching TV or doing other things, or we're just
hopping into my vehicle, turning the ignition on, and then off we go.
Yeah, so we're not as active as we used to be.
We're not. That's right. Mm. So, you know, those days of going out there and hunting and fishing and, yes, even though some people still feel, you know, I mean, not some people, we're still doing it.
I'm curious about the... Sorry, Priscilla, I'm curious about the name of the physical activity project, Beat It. Are you a bit of a Michael Jackson fan, are you?
Oh, that's exactly what it sends, doesn't it? So yeah. It's really getting physical. So, yeah, so I just, that mindset to make people realise that just good flow on feeling that being physical, it doesn't have to be something that, oh, yeah, but, you know, I can't do it. But getting into there and activities such as this meets everyone's goals, no matter how old, how young you are. So we brought the Beat It program in.
Yeah. Just explain to people, what's involved with the program, yeah.
Yes. We ran one in Cooktown. First and foremost, we've that done, but also promoting Beat It. You know, there is this interest. And we were quite stunned by the interest that people have shown.
Mm.
So the first day we've then came the information. So she was quite happy to do that. So we've after the information day, you run an information day. So people came in, they signed up, and all right. So the next day, a week or 2 weeks later, we then had a screening day. So people came in, and then we the doctors were there, all of the allied health workers and health professionals. So you've had your diabetes educators, you've had your nutritionists, your dietitians, nurses from the Queensland Health, as well as ours that came down, and they assisted the doctors, assisted the podiatrists. They're all assisted, and the health workers, and so we've had the full screening done, and it's massive paperwork that goes with it because it's part of the research for the diabetes. And we've had a graduation on that, and but the continuation of that now is still running. So Steph Reed, who's actually the fitness trainer here at Hopewell, is now running programs out there.
Yeah.
So,
and
what about
for the residents themselves, those who graduated, those 18? What are they, you know, continuing on? Looking after their chronic illness or their diabetes? Are they organising walking groups, that sort of thing?
Yes. So the and you know, as you well know, that there's a fee of $5 that we actually charge, but it goes back to the group as well. But in this case now, that goes over to Steph. But with the participants, they're amazed at just what nutrition and exercise can do towards lowering their blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and their blood sugars, and how well that they feel. So they are right into it now that we have people out there walking. We've had some girls here who's actually, people looking at other ways and means of how to cook their meals. They were most surprised at one stage there that some of the participants were quite disillusioned because they weren't losing the weight.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what's happening? You know, we're exercising. But the thing is that they were building muscle tones. So they were building up their muscles. They were getting all toned up. And so they said, look, you know, it's not so much the scales. It's about the usage of your clothes. Do you feel that, you know, you can fit into your clothes and there's a bit of looseness? Oh, yeah. You know, well, you know, the muscle is a heavier component than the fat. So you're losing that, but you're toning up. And then now that they are looking at now the nutrition, balancing that with the physical exercises. And the physical exercises, it's nothing like, you know, it's not about weight lifting and things like that. It's walking. It's looking at the thinking about their health. So it's a good feeling. You can feel that vibe, a healthier feeling within the community. And it's just the benefits of beaded classes. It actually improves, the mood, the energy. It's giving them a quality of life. So people are now starting to talk about, oh, look, my cholesterol levels are down now. Oh, I've been on insulin. I'm off insulin now. I'm managing that with my, the nutrition and exercises. So, it's all these things. It's just about improving the blood pressure. It's about improving the cholesterol levels. And, of course, with blood pressure, it leads to other big chronic illnesses if it's not managed.
So is 12 a magic number or something? 12 weeks? I've noticed that there are a few sort of lifestyle or, a physical activity and nutrition programs that run that duration. Is that a time where people actually get to change habits, where bad habits become healthy ones? Or they swap for healthy ones?
It's always either 8 weeks or 12 weeks. And it seems to be there. So 8 weeks or 12 weeks.
Yeah.
But you continue that. So we're just giving them, building up their capacities and giving them skills.
And I mean, we were talking about the barriers. So did the individuals who participated, were they talking about also the barriers that prevented them from managing their diabetes better or watching their cholesterol level or blood pressure level? Like, maybe there aren't, walking tracks are, the grass is too high and that sort of thing, and there's an element of running into
these were all thrown up on the board, and we discussed it, and environmental factors that actually suppresses or eliminates activities for people to get active. Looking at say for instance now. All right. If the prices are high in the shops, well, there's a group of people that can go in there, and we can actually lobby.
Keep them fenced in. Keep them fenced in.
Keep them away. Yes.
And what about dogs? They've been an issue too. Yeah.
Yes. With the dogs, we've got a very good program that's running on communities, and
although that would give you a bit of exercise, wouldn't it? Running away from a dog.
That's not something
we would recommend.
No, and we're glad that it's my days. We were actually chased by a pig at one stage there. So you can have that, but today you don't. So as I'm saying, as part of my role as a health promotion officer, is also looking at how we could work in with the governing structure, the governing bodies, just to make sure that everything's a-okay. Working with health workers as well and upskilling them because they are the first taxis off the rank, so to speak. Yes, that's right. They are the ones that bridges the community, the gap between the community and the the access to the clinic. So it's sitting down there and talking to people and actually finding as well. So a lot of education goes in with the kids.
So on any given school day, you might be in a classroom?
That's right. That's right. And working and the ones like Patrice with it help.
Well, see, it's some fantastic initiatives we're hearing about what's happening in your neck of the woods there, Priscilla. You wouldn't know what was going on unless you were talking to programs like ours. So we do really appreciate the time that you have spent with us this morning. If there is a take-home message for any of our mob who are listening to today's broadcast, what would that be?
I would say that thank you, Karen.
I appreciate your time. Priscilla Gibson has been our guest this morning here on Let's Talk. She is the Health Promotion Officer for the Cooktown Cluster of the Upper Nipomo Cape York Health Council. And there is a web address that you can go to have a look at the Upper Nipomo web page, which I believe is... Have you got that handy there, Priscilla? Is it just a uponipama.org.au?
That's right.
Excellent.
You said it, Karen. That's exactly where it is.
All right then. Well, thank you very much for that, Priscilla. You have a good day.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And just for those of you who want to know how to spell Aponipima, it's APUNIPIMA. That's APUNIPIMA.org.au is the web address if you want to go and check out the work that that Cape York Health Council is doing for its residents in the Cape York and NPA region. I'm Karen Durante. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. Thanks for listening.